What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, where you can get real, honest opinions about films that are opening in your theaters soon, and every once in a while, an older film as well. So stay tuned. Enjoy what you're hearing. Don't forget to like us and follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. You know how all that works. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ryan, it is post July 4th weekend. I hope you had a good time. But more fireworks are coming this weekend in the form of Thor, Love, and Thunder. A lot of people have been waiting for Thor. Thor is the first Avenger to get four solo films. Now,
yeah.
We'll discuss how I feel about that in a moment. But again, written and directed by Taika Waititi, he of Thor Ragnarok, and it is about a villain named Gore, the God Butcher, played by Christian Bale, who is trying to kill all of the gods in the universe because he's unhappy with them and their ilk. And Thor has to fight him with the help of Dr. Jane Foster.
Thor.
Lady Thor. We'll get to that too. And you know, they haven't talked in 8 years and 7 months and 6 days or whatever it is. And so we get awkward X interactions in this. What were you expecting going in to this one? Were you looking
Better
forward
movie?
To it?
Oh, wait. yeah, actually, I was looking forward to it quite a bit. I mean, there's... This movie frustrates me a ton.
Let's back up a couple steps because it's Taika.
All right, what was
he did Ragnarok. How did you feel about Ragnarok? Because he brought a completely different approach.
Yes, and at the time, this change up and what he did invigorated the Thor franchise. In the same way that I think that and well, you know, it obviously gets comparisons to Guardians of the Galaxy. One thing Guardians of the Galaxy did was the second film changed things up quite a bit. And it really, you know, I mean, it has a very more of a story, emotional core, you know, built around the characters. For as silly as it is, there's some weight to it. So I was hoping that was the sort of thing that we would get from this film. Kind of a progression of, look, we did a really silly movie. There's going to still be really silly parts in this, but it's going to be something more than that.
And then pregnant pause. Yep, that's a really excellent segue, Ryan. See, now I wasn't a huge fan of Ragnarok because I thought it went too far into the slapsticky comedy stuff.
And it may have.
When the first trailer for this came out, I didn't really want to watch it. But knowing that it was going to be Taika Waititi, I almost had to. And when I did, I immediately thought that all the worst parts of Ragnarok for me were going to be the whole film of this. I think I was kind of right in that. This isn't 100% of those parts of Ragnarok, but I think that the best parts of this film are the parts that are not those parts.
Probably.
I think there's a good movie in here. And unfortunately, he chose not to tell it. he chose not to tell it.
Yeah, I think what you're going to find is there's going to be a lot of people who just love it because it's him, and I you know, and he's I've enjoyed his movies over the years. I always kind of wondered. I guess my biggest fear going into this film was that Lady Thor was just going to be a gimmick, right. And that it really wasn't going to be a showcase for, you know, Natalie Portman as an actress or as, you know, and unfortunately, I think that's exactly what it is. It's mind-boggling to me that Marvel can't figure out how to really do female superheroes, I guess. I think that this film might have been better if they had a female writer included.
Perhaps.
You know, not necessarily, they wouldn't necessarily, just maybe even just someone to kind of bounce some ideas off of. I mean, this is just the romantic comedy aspects of this doesn't really work for me.
Thank you. I'm not alone there.
It gets in the way, I think, of the narrative. It's so cliched that it's painful. The lack of action is pretty surprising. The action that's there is not that impressive. There's some really dumb moments.
Yeah.
I just think this is maybe the most disappointed I've been at a Marvel film in the history of Marvel films.
And some people really were disappointed by Doctor Strange too.
Yeah, there are aspects of Doctor Strange that I do think are not great. But I also think that Doctor Strange was at least different enough. Now, if Sam Raimi were to make the next Doctor Strange, and it's the same thing, I don't know how I feel about that. I just feel like there was so much wasted potential. And it really kind of, it doesn't work for me. It just ultimately frustrates me. And, I think it's a shame. And like I said, there will be a lot of people who love this film, simply for, you know, the reasons probably why I hate it,
right,
to be honest. Well, I don't know if I hate it. That's a little strong, but like I said, disappointment is I'm just, man, you know, everybody deserved better.
Yes.
The talent that's involved in this, I mean, yeah, sometimes you get a lot of talented people, put them in a movie, and it's not up to expectation. But this just was so, like, I don't know how to put it into words. It almost feels like the story that goes in between stories.
Okay.
Like
this, you know, was what?
Like supposed to be like a build up to other stuff.
Allow me, if I might, to opine for just a couple minutes then, because I think I'm going to get to where you're at. I think I'm going to get to exactly where you're at. And you should probably agree with me. You'll probably say, yes, that's exactly it. So we are established that there's too much comedy. And yes, the romantic comedy stuff, it's played out and it never stops. He never knows when to stop. He just keeps it rolling. Now, And it's to the point where he can't resist anything. Taika Waititi can't, if he wants to put in. They brought back, you know, the goats, the magical goats pulling Thor's ship. But because this is Taika Waititi, they're screaming goats. Again, and it's fine, but it just plays way too long. You know,
they disappear.
And then they kind of disappear toward the end. We get Lady Thor. or Thor, or the Mighty Thor, or Dr. Jane Foster, however you want to call it. And that, yeah, it's kind of just a dig. I think there's a lot to it. I guess this basically follows the Lady Thor comic line story, basically. So, and I do think that within the internal logic, because you know how I love to talk about a film's internal logic, within this film's internal logic, it makes sense for her to have become Thor. You don't have to like it, but it makes sense. The movie explains why it is. And within the framework that they've set up, now granted, it's couched as part of this weird romantic comedy thing again, but it does make sense. You're right. I don't understand why she had to be so... They made her taller through, you know, physical and CGI trickery, because she is so short and he is so tall. She got
it. You did see that at times.
Yeah. And
not as
right.
Thor.
She got in ridiculous shape to play this role. Did young Natalie Portman. And I still think they beefed her up in post-production a couple times, because I felt like her size, her physical size changed within scenes. Like her arms got bigger in scenes, even though she stayed Thor the whole time in a particular scene. Now, I guess Kevin Feige has denied that, but I swear I saw it in the film. So, but it's like, and I don't understand why they had to do that. They could have just gotten her in the ripped shape that she was, that, you know, that we were getting all these, you know, pre-production shots of, where she's very in shape. She's muscular, but not huge. Because I mean, Valkyrie is a hero. She's not ridiculously buff. Black Widow, female hero, not ridiculously buff. It's like, what, you know, you can't play the, well, she's got the power of Thor card. Did all the little kids buff up at the end of the film? No.
No.
You don't need it. It seemed gratuitous, I guess, for lack of a better term, to make her that physically large when you don't need to, because power of Thor is the power of Thor, you know? The thing I want to get to here, again, Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher, I think that's the story that needed to be told. And I think this would have been a great dark film with a couple of light moments.
He might be one of the most compelling, if not, I mean, villains in the Marvel Universe. And that's also why the film is so freaking frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, because even in the, like, the sillier parts, like when he appears in the cage with the kids, and he's kind of goofing around with the little octopus thing, and it's kind of played for silly. Even that, all that does is make him even creepier more devoted to his mission. So it's great watching Christian Bale chew all that scenery, but it's like, man, that's the movie that we needed. Because then, I mean, Waititi could have made this like a really dark, almost apocalyptic vision, and then and just popped in two or three lighter scenes, and it would have worked. So that was a terrible missed opportunity, and because I don't think that he had enough courage to do it, and he just reverted to form, which is comedy. So getting to where you were right there. So here's what I think my biggest problem with this film is. Thor: Love and Thunder feels like, just like the last two Thor films did, that it's more important for what it sets up than for what actually happens in it. It exists to give you something to look forward to in the next film. And that seems to be its whole purpose. And Ragnarok set us up for Endgame.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It wasn't quite as fluffy as this one is, because the whole Hela subcurrent was kind of great, but it's not, it wasn't nearly as dark as the God Butcher could have been, even though it's a similar take. But I think the God Butcher, that would have been a nice dark movie. But it doesn't really matter, because Ragnarok was moving us to Endgame, and Love and Thunder is moving us toward what? We still have no idea who the big bad is for Phase 4. And we've talked about this before. Marvel needs to commit to something moving forward to tell the fans where we're headed. Or if they're not, they need to say, look, it's going to be a bunch of, you know, brush by interconnections with a lot of smaller targets. And that's okay, but they need to do it.
Yeah. Well, because right now it feels like the first half was, the first, three phases were built. That was almost from the very get-go built as a crossover event.
Yep.
Very early on, the way that all these things intersected and pointed, it happened within a handful of films.
Yep.
Now we have a bunch of TV series, a few films, and no clue if any of them are actually related to each other.
Right.
I guess Moon Knight's in the Eternal line. Miss Marvel's going to be in the Marvels or whatever, but a lot of it just doesn't. It feels directionless, and it could be in a couple of years to think, oh wow, look at they turned this out and they had a great plan, but
they're in danger of DCing their own universe.
Yeah,
because if you make the fans wait too long, they're going to be their event, and we talked about this. It's going to be, why should I bother?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Either needs to start interconnecting to something we can see down the road.
Sure.
To be clear that it is a bunch of separate stuff. Follow what you want.
But that's, and that's the problem right there, is because the first group of films, you did feel like you needed to see all of them because they were a giant puzzle that was coming together.
Yep.
Whereas if they start making multiple puzzles,
I was going to say, this is like, we don't know how many boxes we have.
Yeah. And so you will get people who are going to be like, well, I don't care about this box, so I'm going to just not go to these films because they're not necessary. There's no reason that I need to see these films other than the fact that we like Marvel films. And I think ultimately that might be the demise, is if you can't, it's all fragments right now.
Yeah, I mean, stop and think about it. At its height, Marvel was releasing, what, 3 films a year? But they all felt important.
Yeah.
And now, they're releasing 3 series that seem pointless, but we're told they're important, but we're not shown they're important. And then, and then you drop a couple films in there that don't seem to have anything to do beyond themselves, again, which is fine if that's the way you want to go, but that needs to be clear, because that is not what you are leading the fans to expect with all of your comments. You can't call it Phase 4 and not be expecting people to try to connect dots that don't seem to exist at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it feels more like they're doing Phase 4, 5, and 6 all at the same time. And even then, you know, okay, so Thor exists in the Guardians of Galaxy aspect.
Yeah.
Which is abundantly clear. I think somebody really wishes they were directing a Guardians of the Galaxy film. But I don't know that I care about that storyline right now. I don't know that I mean,
at this point, what, Guardians 3 will be the next film? Is that right?
I guess.
I think. Because they're done filming. Yeah, I think they're done filming Guardians 3.
I don't know when the there you go. I mean, this is the thing. I used to be able to tell you that sort of stuff, but at this point, it's just like, I don't know.
Right? But, I mean, how weird would it be if, you know, Guardians 3 is the one that really definitively says, this is happening. People get the idea that this is what's going to happen. You know, Guardians is not supposed to be that film. Guardians is supposed to be the fluff film that they're trying. And I still don't get why they're turning, why Thor was chosen to be this fluff character. I still don't understand why that decision was made.
I can tell you why the decision was made. It's because they couldn't figure out how to do the character, and the first two films, they clash so much, the directors, what those directors were trying to do with the character, that when someone came along and said, "Hey, we can, you know, take the serious edge off of him and make him a silly fun guy who, you know, goes to the tavern and sings songs with, you know, everyone rather than being a serious god," you right. know, they jumped at it. And
I think to their detriment.
The thing is there's going to, I really struggle with this film on so many different levels. And there's a part of me that feels like, no, you need to go see it again before. But there's also a part of me that's like, I'm so disappointed in what's there that I can't imagine finding like enjoyment, knowing where, you know, knowing where it's heading. There was at least, you know, this kind of question of, okay, well, where are they going to go with this through, you know, as you're watching the movie.
Right.
You know, like, oh, maybe we'll get, maybe they'll kind of fix this. Maybe they'll fix this. Okay, they kind of, oh, no, they just didn't.
No, they didn't.
And I don't know. I mean.
Right.
Whatever.
It's,
you know.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And I don't know what else is coming out next week, but whatever it is, it might beat this.
Well, and I think, well, in quality, but yeah. I guarantee there there are going to be a ton of people who love this movie simply because of who's involved and because they can't help but fanboy. and you know what? I wish I was part of that team, and I wish that I could justify being excited over what I just saw.
Yep.
But I can't. To me this is an unfathomable step backwards for Marvel on so many levels.
We would be remiss if we did not remind people to stay through the credits. If you like the credit scenes, there are two. There's a mid credit and an end credit.
Very end, yeah.
The mid credit again. The mid credit is a setup.
It is a setup.
And it's not even, it's not even like an out of Thor setup like a lot of the old movies were, where they would, it would set up something not even involved with the movie you just watched.
No.
This is literally frustrating.
And you know what? It's like, you know, maybe this is me, but it's like there are so many good characters, so many characters that aren't directly stolen from other mythologies and other, you know what I mean, that are a lot of superheroes are copies of each other, but at least they're copies of other superheroes rather than anyway, I'm really not interested in where this is going, and I don't know what in the world the final scene does.
The end credit scene.
Yeah, is that like, I'm going to hedge our bets?
No, I think that's a long goodbye.
All right, and then...
I just want that to be a long goodbye.
I prefer it not to be to a certain extent, but I don't know how logically it's... And, you know, it's just strange. I mean, Natalie Portman didn't want to do these films. You get Natalie Portman to come and do these films, and this is the film you make?
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, she saw... who was involved and looked at, and apparently there is a much longer version of this film, which in the history of Thor is pretty much how it always goes.
Right.
So we know of at least three characters that were cut from this, at this point. And if they cut, you know, I mean, which tells you why were they in the film? If you could just cut it.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's just so much that's, but, you know, I don't. Is this what they intended to make, or is this what they made? And I don't know. I love Natalie Portman as an actress, and I think she's been giving some pretty mediocre to bad scripts to deal with throughout her career that don't allow her to showcase the kind of actress she can be.
Right.
Obviously, she's won an Academy Award for Black Swan, which was a film that did let, you know, you go act. You know, you just act the hell out of this role and see what happens. And that's what I wanted from this one. You know, when they announced Lady Thor, it was a huge deal. And I'm talking about the comics.
Right.
I think they did it on like some talk show, and it was this huge thing, and it was like, can you believe it? And this is so exciting. And they got so much backlash because, oh, you're just, you know, and it felt like with this film, you could have kind of pushed back but instead they kind of went the other direction, and I don't care. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in reverting back to 1970s comics, or, you know, and I guess if it follows what I didn't really follow the you know, Lady Thor comics, but if that's what they did, it feels like, couldn't you come up with something better?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. And yeah, disappointment. That's what we're going to go with. So again, it's, you know, this is like a lot of, like, when we talked about Captain Marvel, when it came out, what did we say? It was a disappointing 7 out of 10. There's a lot of movies like that. It's a 7, but it's a disappointing 7.
This doesn't, I mean, but that looks wonderful now.
Well, yeah, you know, I rewatched Doctor Strange 2 the other night, by the way. I see more of its flaws, but I'm still predisposed to like that movie. This one, I don't know that when I go back and watch it that I'll see fewer flaws, since I'm starting on the negative side, relatively negative side. I don't know that I'll see it in a kinder light than say I might have Captain Marvel at the time or something like that. I don't know. I can watch Ragnarok now, but only because I'm just like, oh, it's Ragnarok. I know what's coming. And then normally I just wind up watching that because I want to watch Kate Blanchett.
Who's great.
Who's awesome, right? You watch her, you know, you watch her shop for groceries.
I'm there. And another time where Marvel had what could have been a great villain to overarch the story around, you know, to do, and they just didn't.
They punchlined her.
And
yeah,
they're chewing through some great characters to give us characters that aren't so great.
And then they're burning them out. They're gone. They can't, you can't bring them back.
No.
Yeah. So,
unless you're doing community theater and bring them back that way.
Right. Oh my God, that was a cringe-inducing scene. I mean, it was nice that they recycled all those actors. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
and then the addition, literally, I'm surprised the theater did not hear my eyes roll.
Oh no, and that's the thing, because it the joke is now the casting.
Yeah, it
doesn't have anything to do with the actual universe.
Nope,
it's like a joke for the. You know, I don't. Yeah.
It's not even a meta joke. That's the sad thing. It's just a yank you out joke. Yeah.
Because it's one upping what I mean. This film literally feels like it has to one up everything that it did in the first one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, it just, you know, Valkyrie gets wasted.
Yep.
Lady Thor's wasted. I mean, to a certain degree, Thor's wasted.
Thor, Love and Thunder.
You're all going to go see it, but you know what?
Don't say we didn't warn you. There, that's where I'm going to leave it. Don't say we didn't warn you. You're going to be disappointed, probably. Most of you are going to be disappointed. Some of you are going to think we're insane. So... that's it. We're done with Thor, Love and Thunder. Everyone, we've got more movies coming out. We're going to watch them. We're going to talk about them. And then you're going to listen and think we're insane again. So that's how it works.
Yeah, hopefully we'll like some of them.
Hopefully we will like some of them, because dang it, I'm tired of not liking some films. But until we do, don't forget to like us. Follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe. That would be wonderful as well. And until we get back to you, I am Mark. That is Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
See you guys.
And we will talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.